Coming up on Patriots This Week, a fish fight in Foxborough.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness. Defense, number 28 is disqualified from the game.
Bye-bye.
The mission? Take down Miami, even if it isn't pretty.
You know, our team did a lot of good things out there today. But at the same time, we left a lot of plays on the field.
On this day against the Dolphins, the defense was dominant.
Picked off by Gilmore in the end zone.
And you got Gilmore talking smack to Stills, who hasn't shut his mouth all day.
And Gronk was back in a playful mood during his touchdown celebrations.
We got yelled at. We're not allowed to talk about celebrations.
He apparently didn't see the sign. No pony rides.
I kind of want to talk about it, but I kind of don't. I'm in trouble. That was not planned or anything. We'll just keep it there.
And you can keep it here for Patriots This Week.
With 5 weeks to go on the regular season, week five seems so long ago when the Patriots enter their contest that week, 2-2. They have since won seven straight and, in fact, secured a 17th consecutive winning season, a post-merger record in the NFL. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with my radio partner from 98.5, the Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, and Matt Chatham, three-time Super Bowl champion who was here at the dawn of the dynasty. And, guys, let's first reflect on that accomplishment, the Patriots guaranteeing themselves an above 500 record with their win over the Dolphins on Sunday, 17 straight winning seasons.
It's amazing. I can't believe there's only 5 weeks left. That means only 5 weeks left to get paid to do this show, which really stinks for us. So I got to start my holiday and Christmas shopping.
You know?
But, I mean, we talk about winning records, right? Eight wins is, you know, you're kind of doing okay for the Miami Dolphins. Nine wins, hey, we might have a season here. Nine wins guarantees you a winning season. But if you look at the averages of how they've won here, it's 12 to 13 per year. And it's north of 11.5 wins per year, the averages. They're not even at nine. It's even higher, but that's a low barometer. They look at that and I think they laugh at nine. And we've been spoiled here because we've set the bar differently around here. And this organization has done a fantastic job. They've had, solid ownership, obviously. The head coach has been here. He's had two kickers, two quarterbacks. And I think that helps, and I think that's why they won football games.
One of my favorite quotes of the week from Coach Belichick, he got into how happy and how pleased he was with this year's team's depth and how important that was to help them keep winning. And the reason I think that matters is because you look around the league, everyone has a pretty talented roster on day one, but everyone doesn't get to send that whole roster out each week, and I think that matters so much. I think you get down the line, those weeks when you're a little banged up and you still pull off a great win, that's what gets you to 8, 9,
three,
and 10, and 12 and all those
kinds
of numbers.
We didn't think they had any depth. But it's all high-end talent. You know, shoot, after Cooks, after Edelman, after Gronkowski, what do they have?
Maybe during the break we'll pass the cap and collect a slush fund for you. But talking about the guy who has more than earned his keep as the Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady, four touchdown passes, and yet really a storyline offensively was how the Patriots ran the ball against the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I think, you know, talking about depth, he mentioned the depth part. You know, Deion Lewis, a guy that was playing a lot in the preseason games, game one, you were covering those games, game four, we talked some of those production meetings. Boy, can they be trying to showcase him? And he ends up evolving into the number one back.
Yeah.
And not from a quickness standpoint. I know he's making guys miss, and that's where it looks like the knee's in perfect shape and, you know, knock on wood and all that. But his strength, his leg turn, he's carrying people, his pad level. That's what impressed me about Deion Lewis.
But you also got to credit this offensive line, and I think it's really been a strength of this team. You look around the league at other teams and some of the issues they have. When that thing starts to fall apart, some of the other stuff doesn't tend to matter as much. But Shaq Mason has been a rock. Joe Tooney has been come along exceptionally well. Karras has stepped in and done a great job, other than the one snap. I mean, we have to put that out there. But that's besides the point. He still played 70 snaps and did a really nice job. Soldier's playing at a real high level again. And the rotating thing at right tackle with all the injuries, it really hasn't mattered much which of the three have been in, and that's a good thing. Deion Lewis is a traditional small, shorter back, but he's thicker. I mean, he looks like a running back for sure. But I feel like you could put James White and Rex Burkhead and flex them out and put 80s numbers on them or 10 single-digit numbers or 10s. He looked like Kenny Stills, you know? Like, he could spread out, and they do that enough to where when you are a defensive player and they come out into the huddle, how do you name the personnel group? You know, because it's not like Rex Burkhead stands in the gun next to Tom and motions out to be a wide receiver.
Right.
A lot of times they break the huddle and they just are wide receivers, so you don't know how to count them.
You're a red zone team defensively, and you try to prepare for them, you're Buffalo. I'm like, oh my God, we got to work on this.
It's the problem for the defense. When you see Rex Burkhead run off the sideline to go into that huddle, does the coordinator correspond with, are we calling him a receiver or back this down? If he aligns as a back and motions out, now then you fly back
what
in.
Are you so doing you don't, now? What are you doing now? You're thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're a defensive
exactly.
guy. You're now in think
you don't know
mode.
What to do with
so now, what do you do when you think? You hesitate.
Yeah.
You don't react.
Yeah.
great defenses in this league take it to you. Yeah. They take the oomph to you. Yeah. You know, the good with the Baltimore Ravens. When the Ravens would come in here and kick your ass, it was put the ears back and go, we don't care who you're flexing out. We're coming after you. We're running a tag blitz. We're running a TE game. It's just, I don't know, man. When they do this, they make people check off. And right. It's almost like, okay, we're in a passive-aggressive mode, if it makes any sense. You know, it takes the attack out of the defense when all this motion starts.
It makes a lot of sense, and so does the segue to the Patriots' defense, because they took it to the Dolphins. 7 sacks. They limit Miami to 1 offensive touchdown. And after being -2 in the turnover margin early, they get back on the plus side. In fact, Daron Harmon secures the win with an interception after Stephon Gilmore makes a big play on a poor throw by Matt Moore late in the first half.
That was a bad throw, but again, it's being in the right place, and it's not like he got beat there. And I think Gilmore is progressing, and it's a couple weeks now where he's negated the big receiver, and that's a great thing moving forward. I think he's going to be anxious to get to Buffalo this week, and had a little concern with the Harmon interception at the end because Gilmore had it. He took it off him, but then the head, and Gilmore dealt 3 weeks with a concussion, head whiplashes off the turf. So hopefully he'll be ready to go this week.
Two things here for me, pocket control. So when you talk about the sack number, I think a lot of the sack numbers came from the realization from Matt Moore that he had nowhere to leave, right? It's not so much that a guy blows off the snap, wins right away. It's that there aren't escape hatches, and then the room just closes around you. That's a good way to approach people because, you know, this team doesn't want to send 5 and 6. They don't want to blitz. So that was a really good pocket control game and good hug blitzing. Things like Landon Roberts hugging up the middle. That's where he's in hugging means you have the guy in coverage. You run towards him. Hey, I'm here. I'm going to get the quarterback. But some of the good little scheme quirks that I think that helped them. The second thing that we can never, you know, it's easy to overlook it, how important it is early in the season with having problems with it. When now it's like, okay, it just isn't a problem. It's tackling. They've been tackling really well. You don't see the misplays. You know, the 6-yard play that becomes the 25. That was an issue back in September. Now it's they're playing clean. And when you play clean, that's Patriots football.
The fake punt. Yeah. Dan Ebner's first down pickup on his last play of the season, as it turns out, Patriots' first drive. Looks like it's going to be a 3-and-out. He takes the direct snap, runs for a first down, but unfortunately is lost for the year.
I've always been of the mind that you could probably convert a punt fake 75 to 80% of the time if you really wanted to. It's just so risky to do it.
People, you know, 4th and 1. I mean, like, fourth and 9, it takes balls to call that,
It takes balls to call it, but it's so hard as a defensive player that you're coming across and grabbing. You're guarding him. You're not reading the run play, right? So there's only one guy on the field whose eyes are on him. And if he blows it and you don't have an edge, you have a play. So on a normal defensive play, everyone's watching the backs. On these plays, everyone stared at the guy they're blocking, so you really don't have eyes on what's going on in the backfield.
Unfortunately, the Patriots not only lost Ebner, they lost Martellus Bennett briefly here in his second stint as a Patriot. 2 games, but an impact nonetheless in those 2 games.
They did, and I was kind of excited to see what it could be getting back to the way it was last year and how important Marty was because you didn't have Gronk, you know, so Marty kind of took over that lead role, and you still don't have those two together again. But if anything, it may have given Dwayne Allen a little swift kick in the ass to get him going, and I think that could be the benefit of this, that, okay, now it made Allen pop here and kind of, you know what, I got to get this thing going and cranked up. But, hey, Bennett's a tough kid, and I think he would have played through the shoulder. Obviously, the hamstring is the one you can't get out there.
Up next, we'll go inside the NFL with Don Banks and our bank shots right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Alandon Roberts. The 6-foot, 235-pound linebacker may have played his best game as a Patriot against the Dolphins. The 23-year-old out of the University of Houston sacked Miami's Matt Moore twice. A 6th-round selection in the 2016 draft, those were the first 2 times in his career that the run stuffer has gotten to the quarterback. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue with our bank shots, welcoming back Don Banks. And Don, the fallout still unfolding as we speak right now, but in New York, it seems as though with Geno Smith about to start for the Giants, they have become the dysfunctional Jets from a couple of years ago. What's going on with Eli Manning now benched in favor of Geno Smith?
Look, Bob, in the NFL, the train always keeps moving, and this can happen to any player. Eventually, it happens to almost every player. So that's not shocking. What shocked me, and I think shocked a lot of people, was kind of the abruptness of this. I think they should have kind of, prepared the fan base, prepared the media, prepared Eli. It felt like kind of random, 5 games left in the season on a Tuesday, boom. They lower the hammer on Eli's starting streak. I felt like they just butchered it in terms of tone and appreciation. I spoke to one former Giants offensive coach yesterday afternoon, and he said that starting streak meant more than almost anything to Manning because he feels that answering the bell every week in the NFL is the ultimate accomplishment.
Let's move on to the Kansas City Chiefs facing a lot of problems right now. This is a team that was as hot as you can be to start the season, including the rout of the Patriots in week one, and they have fallen on hard times, and Andy Reid is faced with a quarterback decision, whether this week or in the weeks to come.
Andy has always been patient. He's never a knee-jerk reaction type of coach. However, I think he owes it to the team that's letting a really good season slip through their fingers and a division lead that looked like it was a lock 3 or 4 weeks ago, if he doesn't at least consider Patrick Mahomes, the rookie, and giving Alex Smith a breather on the sidelines. Andy says he's not thinking about the quarterback, but somehow, some way, this Chiefs offense has gone from that monster, big play downfield threat that we saw in Foxborough in week one to back to the dink and dunk style offense that can't seem to hit the home run. And I think right now Mahomes is that spark that could be applied to that offense.
They have left the door ajar in the AFC West. Who might charge through that door as one of the candidates out there, sub 500, to make the playoffs?
Well, I think the obvious one is the Carson Chargers, as I call them. Now, they're 5-6, but they're 5-2 in their last seven after that 0-4 start. They would be my pick. You got to keep your eye on the Raiders. They're 5-6. Even the Bengals at 5-6 are not done as well. The NFC, forget about it. It's too deep. So you look to the AFC for that losing team that might still make the playoffs. The Chargers right now have so much going for them on defense with that pass rush. They're turning the ball over, taking the ball away on defense, and I think Phillip Rivers is playing very well.
Now, the league's given the players a lot of creative license this year when it comes to celebrations. Have the players gone too far?
Well, in some cases, yes. Look, I've loved what I've seen out of Minnesota and Philadelphia, the orchestrated end zone celebrations, the duck, duck, goose, some of the batter pitching, the bowling pins. But the other day I saw the Eagles intercept a pass and do the electric slide in mass as a defense. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought it was for only touchdowns. I thought that was a bridge too far. I want to see next year, because I think some of these acts are going to get a little tiresome and a little stale, so they're going to have to stay creative to keep my interest.
No celebrating here. We're going to act like we've done this before. Don Banks, thanks as always.
Thanks, Bob.
I will be back with more. Scott and Matt, rejoin me right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show, and where are we heading this weekend? Oh, Zoe's favorite city, Orchard Park, the armpit of America. But there's going to be a football game there, and the guy we got to watch, this guy, Micah Hyde. I want you to freeze it right here. You're thinking right here, okay, this might be a cover one, meaning free eye safety. This guy's going to come down. Here's the snap. Boom, watch. And goes to cover two. Quarterback's looking this way the whole way. Watch the range of this guy. Interceptions. Tom Brady's pretty good at protecting the football, but this guy's a pretty good ball hawk. Here he is again, playing free center field. You think, okay, he's going to be out of the play. Watch. Sits, turns, look at the hip turn right here. Finds the guy that runs through coverage, gets back, and he's the last line of defense. So, really good ball hawking skills. He wears number 23. Here he is again. A little bit flat range right here. Stepping up, coming down, little deflection. He gets a pick. That's three picks I showed you right there. I think this guy's got six on here. Watch out for Micah Hyde. I don't want to go to Buffalo. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue on Patriots This Week, and the Patriots stay in the division this week against the Buffalo Bills. First meeting of these two teams, and the Bills put an end to a three-game losing streak by turning back to Tyrod Taylor and protecting the ball in Kansas City.
Maybe they'd have won a week prior if they had played Taylor. He's the best quarterback on the darn roster. I have no clue why Sean McDermott would make that switch and go with the rookie at that point. You're a new coach here. You're trying to establish things. You know that he's the best athlete on the field at the position. I know he didn't have a great game 3 weeks ago. But he gives you a chance. And when I say he gives you a chance, third and three, third and four, because now the quarterback can make plays with his legs.
Here's the problem with that. The Patriots over, I believe it is the last seven games, you look at this sort of win streak. What this Patriots defense does to other offenses, they make them score considerably below their normal average. 4 and 5, I don't know exactly what the number was, but if you look at what a team normally scores, when you play the Patriots, they're well below it. And that's a big thing. If you're Buffalo and with other people, you score low points. So you're going to be lower than that against the Pats, or are you going to try to keep up with a 30-point output by Brady and the offense? That's just not a good mix.
Yeah, the Pats have a lot more than 17 points during their winning streak. Buffalo, in contrast, a team that relies on its defense to get takeaways and turn those turnovers into some offense. Notwithstanding the decision to go with Peterman over Taylor, he's done a great job in terms of turning things around in the mindset of those Bills.
Yeah, and it's not a loosey-goose defense to where, you know, you remember the plays from last year where you had a guy like Stephon Gilmore gets beat on the double move by Hogan. He's turning, he's complaining to safeties. This is more of that solid Carolina. We're going to square up. We're going to get Luke Kuechly in the middle. You know where he's going to be every play. Point the mic out. We're not going to do it with smoke and mirrors. We're just going to line up. We're going to try and kick your ass. And I think he's got him going in the right direction. But I also thought this about Adam Gase last year, too. So be careful here.
Yeah, right. And I think this team has a dramatic different story sort of in their past. There was a moment where there was a tremendous amount of respect because they played smart, they played tough, they played a certain way. And there was a couple game stretch where they gave up like some god-awful amount of yards on the ground. You know, they just got completely walked through. And you look at what was purportedly team strengths, and all of a sudden, it wasn't just a bad day at the office. It wasn't you give up 35. You give up the 50s in the NFL, and things are just falling apart in every which way. So you kind of, and I think that could, and it sounds crazy, but that can almost work in your favor, because when you're watching film of them, you don't know what to expect. There's this one game where they look like a mid-tier college team, and then they're real tough against some opponents that have actually beaten you. So, you know, what do you make of it all?
Bills have a lot of new players. It's not like Miami, where the skill players were largely the same as the Patriots faced late last year. This Bills team's had a lot of turnover at the skill positions, particularly at wide receiver.
Yeah, it's going to be easier to game plan in a week for Miami because you saw them recently, so they're not going to change much. Teams really don't change throughout the course of the season. I don't think they have the offensive talent to change. You know, the quarterback's not going to change stuff. But Buffalo's unique because there's two players, and I keep going back to McCoy and the quarterback. The quarterback and McCoy can make plays on the ground, and that's the one thing that scares me because I think if there's one vulnerable area with this Patriots defense, it's the rush defense. And nobody's really tested them because you get behind in games, you got to end up throwing the football.
Weeks where Charles Clay was injured. He was gone for a while. And at the moments early in the season where they were strong, he was healthy and really heavily involved. Since he's come back from injury, it's been a couple modest output games. So we know the wide receiver group is an overall strength of theirs. Got some young talent, Jordan Matthews, some, you know, other guys brought in, but it's certainly not, obviously, Robert Woods and Watkins and all those guys that are out in L.A. now. So I think they're a mix of a little less of a dangerous kind of group in the as far as wide receivers. The back group you respect with the one guy, and the tight end, if it's a big part, it's dangerous, but if it's modest, it's not a real explosive offense.
All right, guys, it's a homecoming for Rob Gronkowski. Ending on a Patriots note back in Buffalo, where he caught his record 69th touchdown a year ago, coming off a couple of scores against the Miami Dolphins. Gronk back in Western New York. What kind of an impact can he have on this game?
Massive impact. He's a guy that I think gets excited in certain environments, and we're excited to go up there because of the fan base, right? Bills Mafia, just to see what they can do and see how they can destroy their own property and yard. And the nice thing is we get to all leave there, and I think Gronk will be excited to get on the bus and leave with us.
Let's hope, unlike last year, there won't be any foreign objects tossed onto the field when we go back to Orchard
Depends
Park
what they are.
This weekend. All right, we'll be back with Zoe and Matt's predictions and the Game Changers next, right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Let's get to it. Week 13, Patriots at Bills, New England 9-2, Buffalo 6-5. Scott Zolak, how's it turn out?
I think it's going to be a little bit of a rock fight throughout the first half, Bob, but I got him 31-16 in this game, and I'm telling you, Brandon Cooks is going to be your game changer. I think he's starting to really emerge, and I think it's just typical Brady, spread him out. We're going to go over the top a couple times. Cooks with two touchdowns.
I'm going to go big in this one, 37-10 Patriots. I don't think it's a close game, and I'm actually going to look to a body type that might not fill up the stat sheet, but that matters very much. That's Dietrich Wise on the defensive line. Because of his length and his ability to separate and run down that line, you need guys like that to chase Tyrod Taylor.
I like it. Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, and for Don Banks.
Rookie.
That's a wrap on Patriots This Week. Pats and Bills this Sunday. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. So long.